Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding.
How are you, Ms. Savage?
Terrific. You tease you. I walked in and I said, frankly, I'm shocked. I am shocked that yesterday and even today I've been glued to the news reports about what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, how close we are to catastrophe, about our own natural disaster here, and then this port strike, which could have, if it goes on, significant economic impact. And none of the markets are doing anything. I'm shocked. I mean, the Dow is up and down around the zero line. Interest rates haven't moved much. Gold is actually down today, was up yesterday. So
that would be the arbiter. That would be the best indicator.
And oil, I mean, yeah, it's up a little bit, but $74 a barrel last I looked, something like that. You would think that if the world were about to go up in flames.
To what do you attribute this resilience?
This strikes me like we're maybe, I hope it's not true, but I feel like I'm in the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked that there hasn't been, not just in the U.S. markets, but I mean more global angst reflecting in the flight of money to the U.S. dollar, the dollars.
Well, wouldn't that be a possible consequence of unrest in the world would be that there would be flight to the dollar?
Well, usually,
the U.S. markets would benefit.
We've seen this on the margins, but we haven't seen interest rates plummet because the whole world wants to buy our T-bills. We haven't seen gold soar because everybody wants to be out of everything except gold, which is probably the only thing that would survive a nuclear kind of a situation. We haven't seen the stock market panic. Even volatility is up a bit, but not dramatically. It's just like everybody's holding their breath.
I just wonder if there isn't going to be a moment where soon people are just going to do a little market timing and take some cash off the table. Last week you talked about maybe putting 20 or 25% in cash if you were of a certain age.
I talked about that for the last 6 months.
Okay, so I asked another financial advisor I know about this, mm-hmm. and he said I'm not a fan of market timing.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think it's a matter of asset allocation and that you never know. In my long history of watching the markets, I have never, ever, never once ever been right at a major turn. I never have. But what I really like doing is, as I've changed my situation in life, I mean, I've been doing this for a long, long time. When I was younger, I thought, oh, well, what the heck? You know, it'll always come back. But that's different when you're a little bit older. So you have a different proportion of your assets in chicken money. So you can say, oh, well, my kids will get a little less, or it'll come back before I really need it.
That's it. I think that market timing presumes that you're trying to make a big profit, that you're going to time the market so as to come out ahead. And I don't think that's what you and I have been talking about, or at least what I'm asking about. If you took 20 or 25% out of your stock portfolio, your mutual funds, and you said, let's just put it in T-bills or CDs, and I'm going to be safe there, is it possible that the market is going to go below where it is now? Yeah, I would bet on that. And is it possible that it will go up higher as well? I'll bet on that too. But I'm not going to jump in and jump out. I'm going to jump out and hold on to that money. And if the market went way down, maybe I would throw it back in. But I'm not doing this to get rich. I'm doing this to save money if the market takes a downturn.
Okay, number one, over the long run, you don't have to beat the market. All you have to do is be the market. The market's averaged over a 10% return, S&P 500, for the last 80 years, dividends reinvested. Never been a 20-year losing period. So you don't have to beat the market. You just have to be there. Then you have to know who you are, just no matter what your age or stage in life. As a very young girl, I was a founding member, the first woman trader on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I thought I was smarter than some of those guys that were down there waving their hands. I mean, I'm sure I was smarter, but you know what? I walked around doing a TV series once called Is There a Trading Gene? Because if you're a trader, it comes so easily. It's like fish swim, traders trade. That was so not me, and I learned it very quickly. I'd go a long 10 of this and go, wait a minute, maybe I better hedge that. I'll be short 7 of that. And pretty soon I'd have a huge but very balanced position built up. I'm not a trader. I never was. I had my shot at it, and I know some really successful traders. So part of it is understanding yourself. And then part of it is understanding the risks inherent in any investment. You just said it best. It could go up or it could go down. So how much do you want to have in that position at any given moment in your life?
Isn't this driven by your age, though? If you've got 35 years, that's one thing.
But no, because there are some older people who have lots and lots of money and will say this portion of it.
I would put it in cash.
No, but that's when you have what I want to call extra money. And you know that for everybody that's different. Extra money means, you know, you can fill up your tank to some people. And some people, we're talking about investors, people who have built companies, for example. Their extra money goes at risk either in building their companies or in investing in other companies because it's not going to change their life too much and because they're trying to build something to perhaps pass on
to the community, or their workers, or generations. But for most people who are just going to try and get to the finish line with enough money to
make your money last as long as you do.
There you go. If you were over the age of 70, I would not get greedy right now. I would take some of my profit off the table.
So you're not there yet.
But I am not.
Have you done some of that?
I asked somebody else, what's your opinion of what Terry said? And they said, don't market time. Now, maybe because I'm younger.
But I didn't say, I wasn't timing the market 2 weeks ago.
I don't think I am either. I think
you
they don't understand the question.
You know that I have said consistently for the last couple of years, and the market's just gone on to new highs, that there's an old saying, and the markets sell down to the sleeping point, that if you're at the stage of life where a sudden reversal for one reason or another, and look, if the onset of potentially World War III, the onset of a global financial crisis because of oil or whatever being disrupted in the Middle East, because of natural disasters, if that hasn't been enough to move the markets and to scare the markets in one way or another, I don't know what will. But the point is, I don't want to be 100% invested when I find out.
Well, there you go.
That's not timing. Well, that's just deciding. I'll give you another old savage truth.
All right, what's
another like the other one. Remember, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from
bad judgment.
Self-discipline is the essence of all decision-making. These are all in my book, The Savage Truth on Money. Self-discipline is the essence of all decision-making. I happen to have a cranberry scone here with my latte. I said to myself this morning, okay, today's going to be a no-carb day. But when I went to get the latte,
there. Yeah, there okay. It was.
So we all know intellectually what a good decision is. However, having the self-discipline to stick to it is really important. So if you said, I really think I should be 75% invested just in the S&P 500, I'm thinking this intellectually. The markets are quiet. I listen to Terry. I've got some put aside. 75% is the right amount. If the market fell 10 or 15% in a period of a few days, are you going to have the self-discipline to stick to that? Or conversely, now you're out, you've been out of the market. You've had T-bills, and you've missed 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 points on the Dow since I said you have to have chicken money. Do you have the self-discipline to stick to it when rates are coming down because you know you need the chicken money?
Well, that's what I was wondering. If the Dow is at 42 and you got out at 41, how do you feel about that? And if that were me, I would still feel pretty good about that decision. It's 1220. 312-981-7200. We've got questions for Terry, and they can be yours. 312-981-7200. Here's someone who said they were the victim of financial fraud. What are their options? We'll get to that and more. Katie, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. I'm curious to know, why do we have to leave anything for our children? Who says we do?
There's no law that says you have to. As a matter of fact, look, let's sort out the world of our listeners, because I know there are a lot of people just hoping to make it to the end, and then
and that should be your first
not
priority.
Run out. And do that, not, that absolutely you... don't start giving money away in advance because they're needy. Because after all, who gave money to you? For me, it was the reverse. I helped support my parents actually in their old age. So I don't know why that is, But at a certain point, you start to think, well, maybe my grandchildren's education or something like that. But you're absolutely right. I'm not saying you should deny yourself. There are a lot of people that would love to have that choice to make.
I think that the first responsibility would be to not burden your children with your care.
Exactly. So, which leads me, just let me just pop one Terry Savage financial thing. The one thing that could devastate your own financial plans to making it just to the end and making it all work out evenly and really putting a burden on your children is the cost of long-term custodial care, which Medicare doesn't cover. So in that case, and we've talked about this before, I don't sell anything. Everybody knows I don't sell anything. But that's why you buy long-term care insurance. You buy the combo policy where you put money in, and it will cover your care, but if you don't use it or use all of it, then your children are the beneficiaries of the life insurance part of it. That's how you make it work so that you don't burden them. Once you've got your plan and then the insurance for the worst case, which is the need for expensive long-term custodial care, if there's money left over, you don't have to leave it to your children. There's some great worthy charities out there, and mine are all about horses and dogs.
Here's a listener question. It says, I'm not sure if this is Terry's expertise, but my money market account had about $40,000 fraudulently withdrawn. They made it sound like it was my fault, although they will reimburse the money eventually. I have four other investments with other institutions that have never had a problem, but this bank suggested that I go to Best Buy and have my phone and computer checked. What is Terry's view on all of this?
Whoa. I actually wrote a column about this. Let me see if I can find it. Give me a minute. But look, the New York Attorney General earlier this year sued Citibank. I haven't seen the results of it. For allowing fraud to happen and then denying reimbursement. And I wrote a column about a major bank in Chicago that did that to someone. The amount is still outstanding. And so I wrote a column. Here it was on June. Go back to terrysavage.com. Scroll back to June. I think it's 11th. It is called SIM swapping.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And what this is, you've protected everything, right? You froze your credit report. You did this, you did that. Most banks use something called two-factor authentication. I know when I want to transfer money out of one account to another or something like that, you get a text. Your code is 123456. Do not share this with anyone. You put it in and the transfer proceeds. There is a new electronic theft that allows, if whether you take your phone in or you upgrade your phone, or many ways scam artists can access your SIM card, then they can reroute your calls to their phone. So you have to lock your SIM card. I am so not a techie, folks, but this was the first techie thing that I wrote about, and I did immediately. There's an app for that. Go to terrysavage.com. Put in the words. You could search under the word stealing your secrets. That was the title of the column, June 11th.
Yeah.
You must lock your SIM card so that nobody can grab your phone information and reroute the message from the bank saying, do you approve? Yes, put in your code. They take your code, then the money's gone. And the banks are arguing that because someone tapped in the code authorizing it, that you were complicit on it, and they are trying not to pay you back. I think it's going to be next year's big story. I wonder what's happened with the AG in New York.
Thanks for the call and the text, and more of your calls for Terry Savage. We are downtown Chicago at 303 East Wacker, 18 stories up, looking at blue skies in a beautiful city, downtown Chicago. It's just positively lovely here. And the markets are actually still holding up. Terry Savage walked into the studio almost aghast at how good things are going. And I hate to disappoint her, but the markets seem to be holding strong.
All right. Nothing's happening. But of course, the world's holding its breath. What'll happen in the Middle East? What'll happen with the port strike and so forth? Yeah.
Let's take some phone calls. 312-981-7200. Jim's got a question about his IRA. Hey, Jim, you're on with Terry. What can we do for you?
Yeah, it's not exactly just the IRA. I'm almost 82 years old. My wife and I have had these Vanguard accounts forever, like 35 to 45 years. And a couple of them are traditional IRA accounts for me. One's or three of them are joint accounts. But anyway, Vanguard's telling us that they're moving away from the old platform, whatever that means.
Yes.
To brokerage accounts, and they sent us paperwork to fill out. Looking at that, all we see are fees, 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 and an arbitration clause. And I want to know if we have to do this. If this is is this change on the up and up, or is it just like a greedy brokerage?
No, no, no. Vanguard still remains one of the lowest cost places you could put your money. It is a platform change. It's their technology change. It involves some legal signing of new account agreements. Just sign it. There's so much more to worry about in the universe today. Just go ahead and do it.
You don't think
it'll be seamless to you.
It's going to be greater.
It's not going to impact your cost. It's their electronics. It's their platform. And I had to do it. Everybody has to do it. When I got it, I went, wait, what? I don't want to do that. But I don't know. It would be like, I can't think of another example of something that you just have to go along with because that's the way the world's going.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't worry about it,
Jim. We'll go from
And don't forget to take your RMDs, Bill. Jim, I mean, don't forget to take those RMDs.
Sally, you're on WGM with Terry Savage. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi, Terry. This is kind of an off-the-track question, but I was cleaning out files. Now, my husband's been dead 2.5 years. All the medical bills have been paid, zero balances. How long am I supposed to keep all, like, this paperwork?
Well, that depends. Sally, do you own a home, and did you own a home?
I do own the home's in my name now. I do own a home.
Good for you. Oh, I was just going to ask you an off-the-wall question. Did you make a new will or live?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes,
what a good girl. Okay. Anything that related to your home from the day, the very beginning, even 40 years ago when you put on a new roof and then did it again 9 years ago or whatever it is, all those things you're going to keep because that relates to the cost basis in your home if you should decide to sell it. Everything else, I always say you're asked the wrong person. I have a basement room with stacks of shelves, like a little mortuary.
I thought the number was 7 years.
I'm just going to say this. There's an unlimited statute for fraud. 7 years is a recommended time you keep financial records. One day I'll bring in a picture and show you what a hoarder of financial things. I have little banker's boxes going back to the long
okay.
Goes.
That's no problem. I was cleaning out files and I'm wondering, should I shred
You should shred the stuff that you want to get rid of. And you can get rid of old bank statements. You can get rid of all your old bills, credit card bills and so forth. But anything that, just go through those boxes because, you know, it was 17 years ago that you remodeled the kitchen and you paid the contractor. All of that. Now, let me just say one thing about your house. When your spouse died, you inherited that half of the value of your house. So let's say you bought the house for $200,000 and now it's worth $600,000. Half of the house, the value at the date of his death, $300,000, his half, that's your new cost basis. So your original half had a cost basis of whatever I said, $100,000, and his half has raised it up. And anything else that you added to it over the years, if you sell your house, that's important. Under the current law, if you just live in it till your very last day on this planet, then your heirs will get the house with no taxes and a step up in the cost basis to the value on the date of death. So the only reason you keep everything from your house is in case you ever sell it.
Thank you for the call, and I hope that helps. Hey, John Williams, what was the article that Terry said before the news? Somebody else said, hi, John, would you ask that money lady about how to lock your SIM card again, please?
Okay. If you go to terrysavage.com, on the left-hand side, it says search Terry's columns. You can either scroll down to June 11th or use the title of that column was Stealing Your Secrets. And what you do is download, and it tells you how to do it, download an authentication app for your cell phone. And the other thing is you can ask your cell phone provider to lock your SIM card. You get a code. Every time I turn off my phone, my cell phone, not only do I have to put my password in it, but before it can do anything, it says you have quick 30 seconds to put in your SIM authorization password, which is a 6-digit code. So The point I'm making is this allows nobody could take your phone, steal it, and steal your SIM card. It's not your names and addresses in your phone or your pictures, which we think are valuable. It's the access to all your other accounts that comes with your cell phone. So I can't explain it in short, but I have the link in there. Go to terrysavage.com, scroll back to the column from June 11th, or put in the search box, stealing your secrets.
This listener also just said something about what we were talking about earlier, and I think it was about the chicken money and taking money out of your accounts and putting it in cash or a safer place. John, what percentage of your listeners do you think have no investments in the stock market or barely making it through monthly payments? I hear people say on WGN Radio, if you have $500,000 in savings, call us. I looked it up because I thought the number was about 40%. 41% of Americans have an IRA. If you said, what percentage of Americans have a retirement account? It's 54%. That's fair. While maybe we do sometimes talk about incomes that are larger than average, those are decisions that need to be made. But I think we try and hew to people who are struggling as well and make smart money decisions if you don't have an IRA or if you only have enough money for fixing the washer but not the dryer.
I think I said earlier, for some, the definition of extra money is, oh, good, I can fill up the gas tank. I am always and consistently aware that there are people who listen because they're interested but are sitting there going, can I make it to the end of the month? So some of these questions are specifically directed toward dividing up your investable assets. Others are basically, you know, how do I deal with my house if I die, that kind of a thing. I hope that we get a young audience that says, wait a minute, I hope my big problem is, as someone said, that I have money to leave to my children or to charity or to go on a cruise, or maybe all three.
John, please text me the name of Terry's book so I can buy it.
Yay. Well, I have a bunch of books out, but the most recent general personal finance book is called The Savage Truth on Money. It came out in 3 years ago. And while some of the numbers in it are wrong, they've changed the required minimum distribution date from 72 at the time to 73, and the limits for IRA contributions have been raised and stuff like that. The Savage Truths are eternal. I don't promote the book. The book is on Amazon. I think it's $10 or $12, and it is the perfect book. I met a young man, a medical technician, when I was over having some tests yesterday, and he was such a nice guy. And I started talking to him, and he said, I said, oh, that graph looks like a stock graph or something like that. That's what started the discussion. So I just sent him a copy of the book today.
Nice.
It's the book that you want to give your college kids to start if they're willing to start at the start, about the basic principles of saving, managing your money, investing.
What's
in general.
What's the title of this book?
The Savage Truth on Money. It's on Amazon, or you can, I think there's a link on my website still to it.
Speaking of RMDs, hey, Terry Savage, if I don't need my RMDs, my required minimum withdrawal or
distribution,
what should I do with it when I take it?
Oh, there's all kinds of things you can do with it. You could go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Or you could just put it in a bank money market deposit account. You could invest it. It won't be an IRA account if you're not working. If you have to take your RMD from your existing IRA, let's just suppose you're 75. You're still working, but you're self-employed. You don't have a retirement plan at your self-employment job, but you made $20,000. This year, you could put $8,000, if you have that much earned income, into an IRA, a Roth IRA, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So you could take your RMD from your old required distribution account, and if you have earned income, you could open a new IRA, a Roth.
By the way, Brenda on line two has a question for Terry Savage. What can we do for you, Brenda?
Good afternoon. I just inherited some money from my brother. He had a checking account, a money market, and a CD for a total of almost $194,000. I'm wondering, what is the best way for me to handle this money? What would the inheritance tax impact be? Could I take this money and put it into my IRA?
Okay, stop right there. So you inherited the money. The trustee of the estate, did they send you a check?
Yes.
They sent you a check?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, first of all,
anything yet.
There is no inheritance tax, not here in Illinois. So you don't have to pay any taxes on this money. So your next question
it's
is...
It's not income either.
It's not income. Okay. If you are working and you don't have an IRA, you could put, depending on your age, you could put money into an IRA. But your big question is, wait a minute, this is going to change my life. Thank you to my brother. What am I going to do? I'm going to put it in the bank for starters. I'm going to think about, do I have an estate plan now? What's the story with my house? I can ask you a million questions. I won't do this on radio. And then you say to yourself, what do I want to do? Do I want to give some of this money to a 529 college savings plan for my grandchildren? You are at the perfect juncture to have a meeting with a financial advisor you can trust. That is someone who is not trying to sell you anything because they don't sell any commission-based products. You need a fee-only fiduciary advisor who will put your interests first, and we'll go over your whole picture. And you could find one. Go to terrysavage.com. On the top, there's a box that says find your trusted advisor, or go directly to wealthramp.com, where you'll be like, it's like match.com for trusted, carefully vetted financial advisors. Perfect time to do this.
And if, and I know her principal question was about the taxes.
There are no taxes.
That's $194K net.
It's going to go in the bank, and you're going to earn about 3% on it. And
that's not bad, too.
And you can leave it there. It'll be insured. It's under the $250,000 limit. But this is a good time when you have some breathing room like this to think about, okay, what do I have to do next? I need an estate plan. I'm going to leave it in the bank, but I want to think about what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
About
maybe you take a cruise.
About that SIM card. Yeah, no kidding. About that SIM card article, John, I just Googled June 11. Terry Savage got the article. Thank you very, very, very much. Terry, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Always fun to be here.